So with us, and we've got really, it's quite simplistic. We've got a motion that she can do a consent agreement for surrender of license, and I would say on that, if she does not, then it gets moved to a whole lot of formal hearing.
Perhaps maybe she come back up with more, because the other matter might be ready to present, and then you can...
The whole thing, okay.
Oh, okay. I would just make a motion that we refer it to a formal hearing, but...
Either way.
Formal hearing with the ability to do a consent for surrender. Does that work?
You can offer consent agreements for...
For a license or surrender?
Yes.
Dr. Rubin, what's your thoughts?
My thoughts are that this is more of a formal hearing matter, and I think there would be more control and more protection of the public therein. I also just wanted to comment that if people like to complain that this board relies upon to protect the public and for us to help monitor our doctors that this board licenses.
Okay. Scott, if you do a formal hearing, how long would that take?
You know, it depends on the judges that are on.
The calendar, okay.
Can you still have another matter?
Right.
Yeah, so I would like to see this specific matter moved to formal hearing and then next, and put on the agenda for the next meeting, the other matter.
Yeah,
and then if we see that we can always combine them, I think we have plenty of time if it's on the next agenda to get them combined for formal hearing. And then, of course, if she appears and wants to sign the long-term surrender, then I think that's something Gail can probably do in the interim. And then we can talk about it next time.
I move to, I make a motion that this motion supersedes any of the motions for this case on the table, that we move this case to formal hearing.
Based upon information contained in the investigative report?
Based upon information in the investigative report.
Okay.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Would you roll call, please?
Aye. Okay. Roll call.
Aye.
It's Dr. Rubin.
Aye.
Aye. Mr.
Fett. Aye.
Ms. Gallen. Dr. Sadler.
Aye.
Ms. Chubbin.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Appreciate you coming.
Thank you.
All right. Let's move on to 5E, Dr. Maravani, case number 18091. Are you with legal counsel or
I'm not?
And for record, is the complaint here? So we will have Ms. Anthony, she has a moment here, so it's quick rundown on Maravani 18-091.
Board members, State of Arizona received this complaint from patient LH, who alleges Dr. Maravani inaccurately advised her of an MRI diagnosis. LH, a 60-year-old female, presented to respondent for the first time on February 28th of 2018. On her intake form, she listed her health concerns as vertigo and weight gain. According to the medical records, LH reports having a history of vertigo times 2 years. She reports having been seen by several physicians and had an MRI prior to presenting to respondent. A cause for vertigo had not been found by the previous physicians, and the MRI results were negative. A date is not disclosed for the prior MRI. Prior medical records available for review in respondent's medical charts for LH consists of one lab report dated 11-3 of 2017, ordered by Dr. Brenda Wells. On her intake, LH lists she is currently taking the medication Toprol as well as several supplements. According to the medical chart, LH reports a prior diagnosis of hypoglycemia from another physician, but that the vertigo did not improve with correcting blood sugar. Respondent's physical exam consisted of a blood pressure reading of 136 over 87 and a heart rate of 68. Respondent charged deferred neurological exam since the patient is seeing a neurologist in 2 days. His diagnosis is that of hypocholesterol, vertigo, and irritable bowel syndrome. According to the chart, respondent recommended several supplements and ordered labs. The second date of service was 3/19 of 2018, where respondent reviewed the results of the lab test. He notes LH went to the visit with the neurologist, who scheduled an MRI on March 28, 2018. The result of the MRI ordered by the neurologist is present in respondent's chart for patient LH. It is unclear when respondent received a copy of the results. Respondent did not discuss the findings with LH until April 12th of 2018. It does not appear respondent spoke with the neurologist prior to calling the patient regarding the findings. Based on the complaint, it appears the neurologist had not yet discussed the findings of the MRI with LH prior to the April 12th discussion with respondent. It is unclear why respondent was the physician reviewing the MRI results with LH, as he was not the ordering physician. According to LH, she received a call from Kenneth at Blue Oak Clinic to set up an appointment with respondent to go over the MRI results. LH reports she was leaving town on April 11th, so she set up a phone consultation for April 12th of 2018. The MRI report states the following: mild to moderate chronic changes, no acute intracranial abnormalities, 2-centimeter enhancing mass with the left frontal sinus, malignancy is not excluded, CT of sinus may be helpful, mild dilation of the right A2 artery. According to the chart notes for the April 12th phone consultation, based on these findings, it appears respondent increased toprol from 25 milligrams from one time a day to twice a day, referred LH to EENT, ordered CT scan of the sinuses, and urged patient to follow up with the neurologist. The chart includes the results of the CT scan, sinus scan ordered by respondent. The impressions disclose a 1.6 millimeter density in the frontal lobe, sinus that is consistent with being benign.
Barabon?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I saw the patient the first time here, February 26, 2018, where she complained of vertigo. And, you know, we just, you know, and I noticed also that she has hypertension and quite a bit of anxiety. Now, she had a history of TIAs, transient ischemic attacks, and has a long history of cigarette smoking and hypertension. And when the MRI came in, I got a copy of it besides the neurologist. It was just sent to our office. And when I saw the MRI, which was a couple of days after it arrived back to my office, I was concerned because there was an aneurysm, and there was a mass that was not ruled out as being malignant. So I took it upon myself to act, you know, so that this matter can be elicited, what's going on with the mass, and I was worried that she might have a stroke. So I urged her to make the appointment with the neurologist that ordered the MRI, you know, to follow up on it, so God forbid something happens in between. And her blood pressure was a little high, so I did increase the pressure from the lowest available doses from 25 to the second, you know, the 4 doses, and I prescribed it twice a day until she talked to her neurologist to clarify, you know, what this, you know, the aneurysm is, the changes or not. And I also went ahead and ordered the CT scan because in the MRI it said that there was no malignancy ruled out. So, in order to help the patient to get some answers and not worry, I went ahead and ordered the CT scan to get the answers sooner so that she doesn't have to worry, you know, that it doesn't drag out and it doesn't drag out. And, I mean, in my opinion, I did, you know, act diligently. Probably do it the same way if I have to do it again. I feel very sorry that the patient wasn't so much distressed. I offered her, I'm very good at responding on messages. I offered her to call me a few times, especially after getting this news. I never heard from her again until I got the letter from the board saying that she wants me to pay her the visit cost back, which actually she didn't pay.
tied up to visit anyway, which she still hasn't done. And she even asked me to pay her insurance that paid for the CT scan. Or so, you know, it was all kind of shocking to me. But I just tried to do diligent work and make sure that she gets the care that she needs sooner than later.
So with your progression of care that you ordered the MRI, the neurologist did, but you ordered a CT?
Because the MRI impression suggested to follow up the mass that was found on her skull with a CT scan, with a more bone defining.
And that was dictated from the MRI, correct?
That was asked from the radiologist, yeah. Okay. That said, should follow that up to see if it's benign or not.
Although the neurologist ordered the MRI.
Yes.
So you were trying to take it a step further by doing the CT.
Yes. What happened was that the MRI was arrived at our office without me asking for it, so she must have signified me as one of the doctors. And after, you know, it was there for I don't know, maybe a week. I think it might have been exactly a week. And you know, she hasn't heard anything from the neurologist, and I found the findings to be significant. So that's when I took it upon myself. You know, after I hear me saying that I should have consulted the neurologist, that, you know, I should have probably done that. But at the same time, I also feel that I did the right thing to act on this behalf of my shape.
And I read through your notes. Did you talk to the neurologist also?
I didn't ever talk to the neurologist. No, I didn't. I just told her to go there as soon as she can.
And your thought process on the CT was what, to look for vascular issues?
No. There was a mass found in the MRI that was not conclusive if it was benign or malignant.
Okay.
And so the radiologist on that same, you know, impression suggested to follow up with CT scan to make sure what this mass is all about. So there were two different findings.
Right.
One was an aneurysm and the other one was a mass on the orbital somewhere.
Right.
Yes.
So for the MRI,
right,
the CT, and results to come to you, the patient would have had to list in you and ask for it to be sent to you.
Correct.
And that was prior to the neurologist talking with her, that you got on the phone and discussed
with her. Yeah. I felt that several days have passed and she hasn't heard anything from the neurologist, so I was just being proactive on her behalf. To get that done sooner and prompt her, hey, call them and go there to see what this is all about.
Dr. Rubin, what's your thoughts?
No thoughts on this issue. Right here from the responder,
the complainant. Okay. Yeah, they explained very well. I just want to hear from the program.
Thank you, Dr. Irvine. Let's have the complaint come on up. You can go ahead and grab a seat back there.
Hi.
So could you fill us in?
Yes, I just went to Dr. Maravani because of my vertigo, and I had told him that my neurologist had sent me in for a MRI scan, and so he had asked me to put him in as a physician because I was just kind of disgruntled with my Dr. Wells, because I think she was kind of giving me, you know, maybe using me as a guinea pig, per se. And so he told me to use him as the physician to have the MRI results sent back to him. So I did do that. I had already had a scheduled appointment with my neurologist to come, you know, to discuss the MRI results. So I wasn't in concern of him waiting. I mean, I wasn't not waiting for him to call me because I had an appointment already scheduled for. And then when Mr. Maravani had called me when I was in Phoenix, he told me that there was a mass the size of a strawberry and that they had caught it in time and it hadn't spread. Well, I was totally devastated And I had lost a brother with cancer, and kind of in the same way, so it was like, you know, my whole family was in, you know, very upset. And he did tell me that I could call him anytime to consult, you know, to, he can consult me and, you know, make me feel better. And then he did tell me that, because I've been on Toprol for many years, and he did tell me to increase my Toprol. And so I did, as, you know, I respected him because he took a lot of time with me when I first went in. I'd never gone to a naturopathic before. And he took a lot of time, which I was really impressed with. So I kind of took it, you know, that, hey, I found somebody that I really enjoyed, and, you know, it was thinking about me. Well, when I started getting nosebleeds, and I thought that was really weird. I've never had nosebleeds before in my life. And so when I did go in to see my neurologist, he was, I was so worked up. My daughter came from Phoenix down to Tucson, and I was so worked up. My blood pressure was like sky high when I went into the neurologist. And he goes, I don't know why he says, there's nothing. And I go, what do you mean there's nothing? But Dr. Marabani told me that there was an, I had an aneurysm and that there was a mass the size of a strawberry. He shook his head and goes, come here, let me show you. So he called my daughter over and he looked at the scans with me. And he says, there's nothing there. There is a bone growth, a small bone growth that's on the back of my nose, but he said that that is normal for most people. He said that he's not even, he wouldn't even recommend me going to see an ENT because of that might. And I was just, you know, I was devastated that, and I really don't know a whole lot about the medical, in this, you know, the medical field, but I didn't know that a naturopathic could diagnose like an aneurysm or a mass that he had no knowing about. And I believe that, you know, he did send me, I had a blood test panel done, and, you know, a couple months before I did go in to see him. And, you know, and that cost me out of pocket, cost my insurance out of pocket. Well, he wanted to go and do have another panel done, which, you know, again, I trusted him, so I went ahead and did that. But I think it was all uncalled for, and for me to have to go through what I had to go through in my family, and, you know, money out of pocket for something that really did, was, there was nothing to it.
I'm sorry. I have two questions. One, I don't understand what you mean. I got a little bit lost in the case when you ended, you said, when there was nothing to it. I don't understand what that means.
But nothing.
One more question. You also said that you didn't know that a naturopathic physician could diagnose a bone growth and an aneurysm without no knowing, I think is what you said. And I didn't, I guess I didn't understand what you mean behind that. I don't know if the board did, but I simply...
I didn't know if a naturopathic could diagnose. And then what he didn't diagnose the bone growth, my neurologist told me that it was a bone growth. There was no mass the size of a strawberry that Dr. Marabani had told me about. And I didn't know that, and me being naive, I didn't know that, you know, naturopathics could, you know, read an MRI and then be an incorrect, I guess.
Okay. I'm still lost. How, in your interpretation, how was the doctor incorrect?
Because, number one, I didn't have an aneurysm. Number two, I didn't have a mass the size of a strawberry. And then for him to increase my Toprol, and that's one thing that the neurologist told me when I told him when I went in for my meeting with him, was that the reason I'm having blood, or my nose was bleeding, is because of the increase of Toprol. You should definitely cut that down. You don't, you, that's the reason why you have it.
But you did not have a 1.6 centimeter or 2 centimeter mass?
No.
Just, well, I think what the doctor was doing was reading the scan.
Well, that's why I think he incorrectly read the scan. And when a neurologist is reading the scan and saying there's nothing there, Linda, I don't know why that doctor would tell you that. That was.
What did the ENT say?
Well, the neurologist told me that I'd be wasting my time and my money going to the ENT because there was nothing there. He said the bone growth that was on my nose on the left side that there was, it was small enough to where most people have that thing, that rope on their nose, on the phone. So he said there's, I mean, you can go if you feel better about, you know, going to see him, but as a neurologist, he didn't see that there was anything.
Was you're telling that the doctor told you about bone growth that you don't have, despite the saying that there's a potential malignant growth in your nose on an MRI? Are you saying that he misread, you're saying that he misread it after the CT or after the MRI?
Well, you know, he sent me, Dr. Maravani sent me to for the CAT scan, and to this day, he had never reached out to me to tell me the status or the results of the CAT scan.
I mean, who's Dr. Wells?
Dr. Wells is my primary physician at a health clinic there in Tucson.
I'm sorry, who prescribed the MRI?
She sent me to the neurologist.
No, who prescribed the MRI?
Dr. Wells prescribed the MRI.
Dr. Wells?
Yes.
You heard from Dr. Wells?
Well, she had set up the appointment.
Have you heard from Dr. Wells?
No.
About the MRI. So your primary care, do you still go to that primary
no.
care? Okay. Why are you curious why your primary care do you trust him to go to?
I didn't send her to be, I didn't have her send,
why
I didn't
you
have
send Dr. Maravani?
Because he had asked me to. And then, again, I trusted him with a couple of appointments that I'd gone to him.
I understood, but you didn't think that as ND you could interpret those results.
I did not. And I didn't. After the fact, I trusted him to where, you know, when he called me when I was in Phoenix, and he called me and told me that they found a mass, and it was the size of a strawberry.
Dr. Wells prescribed an MRI for you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, and the MRI was on March 26th.
Yes.
And then your neuro appointment was when?
March 28th, I think it was on May, actually I think maybe April.
April. So the person who didn't prescribe it, the only person you heard from about it who was taking Proactivity was the doctor that you're complaining about, is that correct?
Right, because I had an appointment with my neurologist to discuss the MRI, but Dr. Maravani received those results before my appointment with my neurologist.
But he's the only one who responded before your primary care who prescribed it, he didn't respond.
No, because she was never, she never got the results.
She ordered the MRI, she got the results. That's who it goes to. The only reason he got it is because you.
Oh, okay, it. And again,
yeah,
I
she got it, so she never responded to you.
No.
She didn't have concern for you, perhaps. Or maybe.
Oh, and that's probably why I left her, too. Yeah.
Maybe, so it could be. But with the MRI report that I have, it says 2-centimeter enhancing mass within the left frontal sinus. Malignancy is not excluded. CT of sinus may be helpful. Those are very powerful words. This doctor was probably protecting you just to exclude that this wasn't a malignancy. I think you need to understand that. He was making sure that you didn't have something. I read the same thing, and I was board certified mixed class gynecologist, so I'm trained to read these reports. And so for me, I just want you to understand, I'm not trying to be defensive, but this gentleman here, this doctor who you call Mr., I think was trying to protect you, and I think you really need to understand that. But he's the only one who called you. He didn't even order the report. He didn't order it.
Right.
The person who did, didn't. I don't know if you are or are not complaining about that person. They also took activity and said, why don't you go to the expert who deals with things? He's not an expert. His primary care doctor, licensed by the state, is that. So you are. So I just think that looking at the timeline, and the only person that you have responded to and took activity and concern is the one you're complaining about.
But then why would the neurologist tell me that there was no mass, there was no...
I don't know, and it's not review to suggest that. All I'm reading is there is a report that says you have, that also says that you have, it says, mild aneurysmal dilatation of the proximal right atrial artery. The word aneurysm is within that aneurysmal dilatation.
Yeah, and that's something, again, the neurologist, when he read the MRI...
I can't comment about any other
doctor
that you licensed here that you complained about.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to get those timelines straight and tell you that to everybody. So, I'm done with that question.
Dr. Scott?
No.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a body, please come on back up. I can see kind of how this transpired, and you're
interaction with it, that, you know, you followed up as you, you know, rightly should. Were you going to eventually just try to correlate with Radiology Limited, talk to one of their radiologists? Was that in the future game plan with you? If there was no neurologist,
I would have already referred her to a neurologist if there wouldn't have already been a neurologist involved. And an ENT, which I did involve, get involved. He was not involved because of the mass.
Right.
I got a referral to ENT, and she had already a neurologist, so I didn't need to do that part.
Sometimes it's helpful. I know Radiology Limited, you know, because you're in Tucson also. If you run into those questions, the guys that run those are always available. The radiologist just, you know, call, and there's a physician line, and just try to correlate. But as far as I'm concerned, you pretty much, you know, fell in, you know, through the patterns. You did what you were supposed to do. Finally passed the other physician members.
Can I ask a doctor a question? Yeah. Was there a mass on the MRI?
Yes.
Was there an aneurysm or dilatation? Yes.
So I'm going to make a motion. I'll put it out there. We can see who's with it. Is. But the only suggestion I have is get on the phone to Rad Limited if you have to, if you get into those snags. But I'll make a motion.
Well, hang on. What snag are you talking about?
The correlation of the MRI, the CT, the aneurysm, what was interpreted, what was not interpreted. Sometimes by having radiology on the phone.
Well, I understand, but are you suggesting that by using the word snag that there was a misinterpretation?
No.
Okay. I'm sorry.
No. But that may help clarify just clinically, sometimes direction to drive the car. But I think you pretty much went down the right path. I don't see anything that's clinically here.
And, you know, the interpretation was pretty clear to me. You know, he suggested to follow up with the CT scan.
Right, follow up.
And I do routinely call the radiologist if I have any questions.
Okay.
Thank you for that answer to that question.
I was waiting for your motion.
So I'll make a motion that we go ahead with the CFO. Okay. Discussion. All right.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen? Dr. Sadler?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbet?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you, Dr. Irvine. Dr. Irvine, hang around for a little bit now. You can, we can jostle around since you're already up here. Let's move to number 7. It's in the back of your next year. And this is Concept Driven, and it's actually under 17-074. And this was a while ago, before I think you can talk to Ruben. So, Ms. Hansen, can you give us a rundown?
So, board members, pursuant to the Consent Agreement 17-074, charged were randomly audited for compliance with adequate medical record keeping, and I forwarded the copies of 5 charts that have been provided by Dr. Marabani to you for your review.
So the board had a chance to go through his charting. That was the issue that you had, Brian.
I wasn't here for the first part, but I would have given those charts.
The chart. What's your thought process about a little bit of the record?
Well, you guys know me. I'm a very diligent charter, and I think that if there's any students in the room, that they should take note on their charting. But I definitely have some questions for the respondent.
Yeah, go right ahead, Dr. Bruce.
Okay. This may take a little while, you guys.
I want you to go into executive session for legal advice.
I want the motion to do so.
Yes, please.
Thank you. Thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. At 2:20, we're in executive session for legal advice. So don't forget to grab your belongings.
You can turn off that mic.
So we're at 2:21 and executive session for legal advice.
No. So.